My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 13, Earth to Betty. My sister surprised me and came to Kirkwall 2 weeks early, loaded with goodies from home like a female Santa Claus, to help me get in the spirit of the festival, she said, although it's more likely Mom sent her to check up on me and provide her with the precious details she thinks I don't want to share. Where is my instrument, Denise? Oh, she mocked. You wanted that? Won't your dead crush disapprove of such frivolities? I see you dancing around the fire, Fiona, giddy like a child, and carefree. What on earth gave you that lightness of being when your life was so dark and perilous? No, I replied. No, she would not. Give. She reached into her duffel bag and pulled out my ukulele by the sound hole, all tangled up in a knotted mess of cables and undergarments that instantly elevated my blood pressure. How could you shove it in your bag like that? It's a miracle it got here in one piece. I'm starting to remember why I never let you touch my stuff. Relax, it's a ukulele, not the Holy Grail, she faked giving it to me and quickly pulled it back. You don't get it unless you promise me you'll play it at the festival. Denise, I only know Over the Rainbow and I'm not playing that. And I'm here early, she pulled a dog-eared music book from the bag, to make sure you are properly trained for your performance. We've got plenty of time to learn new songs. I came here to do research, on a grant. Do you think I sit around all day twiddling my thumbs? Ethel, you were born old. Live a little, will you? Fiona laughed out loud in the back of my head. What's so funny, Finnestein and Steinver? Ethel is not even my given name. It's a nickname my dear sister picked for me, because it epitomized my old lady habits, and it stuck. It really upset me during my childhood, which made its use even more enjoyable for my sister and friends, but I find it endearing now. I really miss my family. How many times do I have to tell you my name is not Ethel? I faked outrage to start the game we used to play when we were young. Oh, I'm sorry, Denise obliged. Did I say Ethel? I meant Betty. Now, Betty actually is my given name. Thanks, Mom. My only comfort is the other options were Edna and Harriet. Betty Louise Hamilton. It sounds like she picked it straight out of a 19th century romance novel, most likely the name of a secondary character. Maybe New Agers are right when they say our names embody our personality and dictate our fate. What other career path would a Betty Louise choose other than digging up the thousand-year-old bones of dead people? If I wasn't a Betty Louise, maybe I'd never have met you, Fiona, although that couldn't possibly have been your name either. I'm sure your true name was entirely made up of sharp consonants impossible to pronounce. I like Fiona. Let's stick with that. Hearing I ask, from the holy races, from Heimdall's sons, both high and low, thou wilt, thou father, that well I relate, old tales I remember, of men long ago. Fiona laughed at me again. What could Betty Louise say about her times, one wonders? What extraordinary experiences would Betty Louise have to share from the perspective of so many centuries in the future? You have a deal, I answered Denise. What, no outrage? No protests? What's the catch? She eyed me with suspicion. If I play something, it will not come from that book, I replied. Oh?
I'll find something suitable.
I don't trust you, Ethel. You're just trying to mollify me. So I'll leave you alone. Scout's honor, I raised my hand. The seeress was compelled by Odin, and she had spoken to tell him how the world began, and gave him the 9 sacred words that made the world and the sacred ash tree Yggdrasil. Do you want to know more? She asked him. Do you want to know the future as well, all the way to its end? That is truly the question, isn't it? We feel so much safer buried in the past, churning through its details convinced they can no longer affect us, but past, present and future are interconnected, and we don't want to see that, because we are afraid. Maybe we should be, I don't know. Is the fabric of destiny changing with every one of our choices? I don't know. Are our fates written before we're even born? I don't know. Was I meant to find you, or was it a random meeting of circumstances? I don't know. Do you want to know more? Wise woman, cease not. I seek from thee, all to know, that I fain would ask. Earth to Betty, are you still with us? Denise woke me up from my reverie. Do you have any food? You just scarfed down half a box of cookies. I protested, looking with sadness at Mom's box of Linsers,
now depleted. That's not food, that's dessert. I'm hungry. We walked out in the stone streets of Kirkwall, where the fragrance of tree blossoms saturated the humid air. Where does that scent come from on a windswept island where only low vegetation seems to thrive? After a quick but copious lunch, Denise dragged me through every shop and boutique on Albert Street, so it took us 3 hours to get to St. Magnus Cathedral. She walked inside the old church reluctantly, a few steps behind me, intimidated by its massive stone pillars and instinctively quieting her voice, as if in the presence of an unseen force. "And who is this lovely young lady?" A familiar voice startled us. It was the elderly gentleman who had offered me advice the week before. "This is my sister, Denise Hamilton." "Charmed. Another historian, perhaps?" Denise fussed uncomfortably. "No, my sister likes to live in the present." "Here for the festival, then? You're really early, but there's plenty of sightseeing to keep you occupied. Have you taken your sister to the cairns, my dear?" He turned his sights towards me. "Not yet. She just arrived. We haven't had time to make any plans." "Well, enjoy your stay," he smiled broadly and left. "I see you already made friends," Denise exclaimed, surprised. "And to think Mom and Dad believe you a hopeless misanthrope. Anything else you'd like to confess?" I wanted to tell her about the hippie lady, but honestly, I wasn't sure the latter was real. I knew Denise would ask too many questions, and I'd find myself tangled in foggy details and start questioning my sanity, and saw little benefit in that mandated soul-searching. "Oh, very well, don't tell me. I can read you like a book, you know?" She pouted. I changed the subject. "Tomorrow we're going to the Stones of Stennis. I place myself in your capable hands, Betty Lou. Are they like Stonehenge or something? Or something?" I suddenly remembered. "Hey, you never told me. What are you going to do for the festival? You can't ask me to perform and sit on the sidelines." "I haven't decided yet." Denise thrived on spontaneity and raised everyone's anxiety levels by making all her decisions and leaving their respective preparations for the last minute while she herself didn't seem affected by their looming deadlines and wondered what everyone else was so high-strung about. "You will not chicken out on me, will you?" I probed her intently. "When did you ever know me to shy from the public?" "Just checking." "Ah, listen, if Dad asks, I'm here because you need my help with organizing your research. He's been bearing down on me like a ton of bricks to figure out what I want to do with my life. How silly is that? What am I doing now if not living life, am I right? I will not bury myself in some mundane drudgery and miss out on all the cool stuff. You're only young once. I want to see the world and experience unusual things. I came here, sister, to think about my future in peace. Can I trust you not to lecture me about responsibility? I'm all stocked up on advice and guilt trips. Did I mention this place is awesome? Hey, maybe I should take up photography or do a documentary. That's exciting. No? How about I recite some of my poetry at the festival? Or choreograph a dance to ancient music? Or create fish art? Yes, fish art. Her eyes lit up for a second, and then she got distracted by a cute tabby cat lying on a stone in the graveyard. The reason for Denise's early and prolonged visit was finally revealed.